This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, and I am back. Good to be back with you. Sorry for the busy couple days this week that I couldn't be here. Had car trouble I had to deal with on Monday, and then yesterday was the Montana State High School Academic Challenge State Championship. And I was, as I've always said, playing Alex Trebek to a group of high school students. A group of high school students who are much smarter than I ever pretended to be. Oh, man. Some of the stuff, I'm reading the questions, and I'm just like, there's no way. I mean, some of the math stuff. Because it's you know, all across the board academically, there are literature questions, history questions, current event questions, math questions, geometry questions, chemistry, just physics. The wide range of knowledge that these questions cover is phenomenal. And these kids are just sharp, just sharp. So the organization that puts this on Monday, Monday evening, was a banquet that included an individual competition where they were competing for scholarship money. And there was, I believe, $20,000 in scholarships handed out Monday night, based upon that individual competition. And then yesterday was the team competition for the high schools for the you know, state championship. And so that was fun. It's a good time. Really, really good. I've been doing this for many years now, and it's always impressive to hang out with these kids, and they are just smart. Now, programming note, I won't be here next Monday. And the reason I won't be here next Monday is the Missoula High School Quiz Bowl. Same sort of competition for high school kids designed to feed into or for junior high kids. So junior high Quiz Bowl is next Monday, and that's designed to feed into the high school Quiz Bowl so that the kids will, you know, have a little bit of experience. Just like, you know, high school flag football is designed to give football players or a taste of organized football. High school basketball, same thing, designed to feed students into the high school academic and extracurricular activities. So that's where I will be next Monday. So there will be no squirrel chatter next Monday. So Monday meanderings haven't happened in a few days and aren't going to happen for a few days more. Then I'm missing, I will not be here the first 2 weeks of May. Is it May? Yeah, this is April now, right? We're in April. Yeah, so next, oh, wow, okay. So, yeah, I won't be here at all for the next 2 weeks. I'll be here Friday, today through Friday, and then I'm gone for the next 2 weeks. So, that's, wow. Wow, 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 wow. Okay. Just looking at that. Is that right? No, no, no. I'll be here next week. Trying to read a calendar. I will be here next week. I will not be here from the 6th to the 17th. Okay. So that's from the 6th to the 17th, those first two full weeks of May, I will not be here. I've got some traveling to do, and that's what I'm doing. I'll be spending a couple of days getting ready to go, then I'll be gone, and then I'll be spending a couple of days recovering, and I'm just going to take a couple of days on each end of my trip to take care of other things. So there will be no squirrel chatter from the 6th to the 17th of May. So put that on your calendars. You will survive. There are plenty of other good podcasts for you to listen to. I guarantee it. All right. So this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated. Sorry, I'm replying to a text. Yeah, professional live radio. The young man who's on his way to high school, his classes start in an hour, so I need to reply to his text now because by the time I'm done, we will be out of here. All right. Or he will be in class, and I can't text him while he's in class. All right. Once again, this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and anything else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain, except when we don't, on X, Facebook, and Rumble. And then the audio podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to christianpodcastcommunity.org. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are certain to find something worth listening to. I guarantee it. And you will be able to find something at the Christian Podcast Community to listen to while Squirrel Chatter is off the air. So, just so you're aware. But I'll be here the rest of this week. I'll be here all week next week. And then I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. And that's just the way of it. So what do we got coming up today? We have scripture readings from the Legacy Standard Bible. We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. And then our study Bible level Bible study of Deuteronomy continues. We're going to finish up Deuteronomy 33 today. And I intend to finish Deuteronomy 34 next week. And here's what I'm going to do so that we don't start Isaiah until the following week. On Tuesday next week, because I won't be here Monday, on Tuesday next week, I'm going to do a Tuesday edition of Monday Meandering. A lot of stuff been happening in the news I want to talk about. That will be next Tuesday. Wednesday, we'll do Deuteronomy 34, which will finish up Deuteronomy. Then the following week, the following week, I'll be gone. So that works out well. We'll be good. We'll be very good. So that's the plan. All right. Yeah, that works. Make a note. So next Tuesday will be a Tuesday edition of Monday Meandering. Wednesday, in our study Bible level Bible study, we will finish Deuteronomy. Then finish out the week, and that's going to be the plan. I think that works. I've already closed my calendar, so I'm trying to picture it in my head. You have a horribly dyslexic guy trying to remember what the next 2 weeks look like. So that's the plan. All right. Let us now begin with the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Let us confess our sins unto Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the Word. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture reading today is Exodus 31 and Psalm 81. So, let's open up our Bible app. Sorry, I need to get rid of the text message in front of me because I'll have to reply to him later. And I was distracted by it. I'm out of sorts. Haven't done the podcast in 4 or 5 days, so it just kind of messes me up. Exodus 31. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in discernment, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs for work in gold, in silver, and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for settings, and in the gathering of carving of wood, in order for him to work in all kinds of craftsmanship. And behold, I myself have appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Ahisamech, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all who are wise at heart I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat upon it, and all the furniture of the tent. The table also and its utensils, and the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, and the altar of incense. The altar of burnt offering also with all its utensils, and the laver and its stand, the woven garments as well, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons with which to minister as priests. The anointing oil also and the fragrant incense for the holy place, they shall make them according to all that I have commanded you." Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, 'You shall surely keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who makes you holy. Therefore you shall keep the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to Yahweh. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. When he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written by the finger of God." And now we are going to look at Psalm 81. Psalm 81. The 81st. Okay, take a sip of coffee, deep breath, get it back. This is live podcasting, folks. All right. The 81st Psalm for the choir director, according to the Gittith of Asaph. Sing for joy to God our strength. Make a loud shout to the God of Jacob. Lift up a song of praise. Strike the tambourine, the sweet-sounding lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our feast day. For it is a statute for Israel, a judgment of the God of Jacob. He established it for a testimony in Joseph when he went forth over the land of Egypt. I heard a language that I did not know. I relieved his shoulder of the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. You called in distress, and I rescued you. I answered you in the hiding place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify against you, O Israel, if you would listen to me. Let there be no strange god among you, and you shall not worship a foreign god. I am Yahweh your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel was not willing to obey me. So I released them over to the stubbornness of their heart, that they would walk in their own devices. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would quickly subdue their enemies, and I would turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate Yahweh would cower before him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. This is the word of the Lord. Now our reading from Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Today's devotion is True Authority Over Sin. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, Get up, pick up your bed, and go home. And he got up and went home. Matthew 9, 6, and 7. Dr. MacArthur writes, It's not unheard of for people to trap themselves by their own theology and logic. That's what happened with the scribes and Pharisees during this episode. They believed that disease and physical suffering were results of sin, and that removing the disease would equate with removing the sin that caused it. By that reasoning, all healing would have to include at least some forgiveness of sin, which only God can give. Jesus used this logic to prove a crucial point. The point is clear. The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Essentially, the Lord says, I will again demonstrate my power to heal diseases. There may be no tangible results of my forgiveness, but there are tangible, visible results when I heal. If, in the minds of the Jews, disease and sin are always connected, then it follows that healing and forgiveness are always connected. Therefore, so they might know he could forgive sin in the heart, which is unseen, Christ would do what they could see. Heal the physical side effects of sin as represented by the paralytic. Causing the man to walk would be proof to everyone present of Jesus' complete authority over sin and its effects, less spectacular but just as convincing as was seeing demon-filled swine run off the cliff and into the sea at our Lord's behest. At Christ's command, the man got up and went home. An action that was living proof of the Son's authority over infirmities and sin. Ask yourself, how does Jesus continually prove to you that his forgiveness of your sins is authentic and complete? What scriptures give you assurance when your feelings tell you otherwise? That is an excellent point. Believe in the promises of God. All right. We are in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Just have a few verses left of the chapter, so this will not go long today. In Deuteronomy 33, we are looking at Moses' prophetic blessing over the tribes of Israel. And he's been breaking it up into tribes. We've been looking at the tribes beginning with Reuben and then Judah. And then Levi, Benjamin, Joseph, which is two tribes, really, Ephraim and Manasseh, then Zebulun, Gad, Dan, and now we pick up with Naphtali. Of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of Yahweh, take possession of the sea and the south. So this is a tribe that was going to be favored by God and would be successful in conquering the land in the west of Galilee and south of the northern Danites. So the tribe of Dan was north of them. But they were going to take the area around the Sea of Galilee, and that would be their possession. And they were satisfied with favor. So they were to be satisfied with the favor they had received from God because they were full of the blessing of Yahweh. So what a joy for them. So they were to take possession of the Sea of Galilee and the land south of it. An important area, obviously, where most of Jesus's ministry time was in and around the Sea of Galilee. But this was the blessing that was to fall upon Naphtali. Then we have a long blessing of Asher. This is starting in verse 24. Of Asher, he said, more blessed than sons is Asher. May he be favored by his brothers, and may he dip his foot in oil. Your locks will be iron and bronze, and according to your days, so your fortitude will be. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to your help, and through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he drives out the enemy from before you. And he said, destroy. So Israel dwells in security, the fountain of Jacob secluded in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens also drop down dew. Blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by Yahweh, who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. So your enemies will cower before you, and you will tread upon their high places. So here's it. We have Asher, and then he switches to back to all of Israel in verse 26. So Asher, this is a blessing that Asher would be fertile and prosperous. This is seen in the fact that they were going to be dipping their foots in oil. That's talking about pressing out olive oil, which was done by foot. Same way that, you always see the pictures of people walking barefoot in wine vats, pressing down grapes. Same thing, oil was taken from olives in a similar way. So dip your foot in oil. This is a reference to foot-operated oil presses. Your locks will be iron and bronze. That's a promise of security. Now, remember, you couldn't go down to the hardware store and buy a Yale or Master Lock or anything like that. You couldn't buy a Kwikset doorknob. You didn't have deadbolts and stuff like that. Most locking mechanisms for houses were simple wood bars. Strong, certainly, but not totally impervious. But stronger would be locks of iron and bronze. If you had a bronze or an iron bar across your door, it was going to be much stronger than a wood bar across your door. So this is a promise of security that they were going to be secure in their land. So they were going to be prosperous and they were going to be secure. And according to your days, so your fortitude will be. So they were going to be strong for as long as they endured. So that is a promise to Asher. Asher was going to be prosperous, secure, and strong. And so that is and favored by his brothers, that Asher would be looked favorably upon by the other Israelites. And then in verse 26, we come to this, again, reminder of who God is. And remember, Jeshurun is a reference to Israel. It says, there is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heaven to your help, and through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he drove out the enemy from before you and said, destroy. So here we have, you know, the fact that God is God. That there's, you know, he is the God who rides the heavens, who comes to the help of Israel. He's the one who is majestic. He is eternal. He is a dwelling place. You know, it's not talking about where God dwells. It's talking about the fact that we should dwell in God. That is our security and our blessing, is to dwell in God. And underneath are the everlasting arms. So he is, you know, the everlasting arms, and we sing the hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. The arms of God, this is a anthropomorphic, you know, God being spirit doesn't have physical arms. But what it's saying is that, you know, the arms that uphold us never grow tired. You know, I can hold something, you know, something heavy for maybe a few minutes. less now than I could in my youth. But the arms of God never get tired. That if he is upholding you, you are upheld. And there's no discounting that. His arms never fail. So it's trustworthy. And he drove out the enemy from before you. So again, this is talking about the conquest of Canaan and obviously the military battles that had already taken place as Israel had moved through the wilderness. But God drove out the enemy from before you. Israel could take no credit for their military victories, past or present. It's God who gives victory. And we often think about this, you know, the Bible tells us not to trust in horses and chariots, meaning military might, but to trust in the Lord. And repeatedly in Scripture, as well as in history, we've seen large forces defeated by small forces. And who arranges those, victories? It's God. In Scripture, we see, you know, repeatedly Israel being smaller and less military might than other nations, winning victories. Obviously, also suffering defeats is judgment of God, but it's God who gives victory or defeat. In the book of Judges, for Gideon, for example, sets the entire army of Midian in flight, and indeed sees them destroyed with just a handful of men. And so that was, and God had, you know, he kept showing up with people, and God would say, less people, and you can go through the whole, how they were sorted out by God to the small number of men that Gideon actually took with him when he attacked the Midianites. You see that. And it was God who wanted less and less soldiers in Gideon's force, because God wanted no doubt that the victory belonged to him, not to Midian. we see it in history apart from the Bible. I constantly think of the, one example, I've talked to War College guys who are, you know, vast historians and greatly knowledgeable about tactics and strategy. And after years and years and years of analysis, almost to a man, they say, Napoleon should have won at Waterloo. Of course, he didn't. Duke Wellington's forces defeated him. You know, why? Because God is God. Think about the American Revolution. The British Empire was the world superpower. And these 13 disagreeing and arguing colonies banded together and managed to kick the British out. Nobody would have thought that would happen. That was not the not the way it should have happened. But who gave the British colonies in North America victory over the British Empire? Ultimately, it's God. God is the one who gives victory. God is the one who drives out enemies before you. And God commanded the Israelites to destroy the enemy. That's a command from God. So that was God's judgment upon the Canaanites, which we've talked about this before, that God uses, excuse me, God uses invading forces to punish nations. We see that with the Canaanites. Later, God used, all through the book of Judges, he uses the Midianites and the Philistines to punish wayward Israel. Later in Israel's history, he will use the Assyrians and the Babylonians to punish wayward Israel. And then I believe he used the Romans to punish wayward Israel. The destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD, direct fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy in the Olivet Discourse, is God's punishment on Israel for rejecting her Messiah. I have no doubt of that at all. So God uses invading forces to punish wicked nations. And I think we see that in history as well, where nations rise and fall at God's behest. And the nation that gets the victory isn't a righteous nation, because there aren't any. But the nation that suffers defeat is suffering the judgment of God, because God is sovereign over history, and it is he who gives victory. He drives out the enemy from before you. And when we understand that God is sovereign over history, that everything that happens in history, every event, is either his blessing or his judgment. And he is right. And he is just. So when you understand that God is sovereign over history, that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, that everything God does in this world is for the good of his people and for his own glory, then when you don't understand an event, you can still pray and give praise and glory to God for doing his will on the earth, for punishing sinners, for doing things for the good of the righteous. Now, everything done for our good might not be fun. You know, I mean, when your dad puts you over your knee and spanked you for doing something wrong, that was for your good. That was to teach you not to do that again. And that instruction, hopefully, served you well later in life. And so, you know, we can be assured that even those whom God loves, he chastens. God disciplines those who are his. So he's either, you know, training us, teaching us, and discipline is this is one of the things that, you know, we think about discipline as punishment. Discipline is not punishment. Sometimes discipline includes punishment. Discipline is the same root word as disciple. We're talking about teaching. So all discipline is teaching, and teaching includes punishment, but not all discipline is punishment. Does that make sense? Like I said, we always think, you know, he was disciplined, you know, that's like a harsh punishment thing. It's not. I think we're missing out on the wider scope of what discipline is. Well, God disciplines those that are his. It's training, it's teaching. And this is of great benefit to us. And we see this, so Israel dwells in security. This pledge in the last couple of verses here, this promise of security, was only partially fulfilled in history. This is awaiting the final fulfillment. Just as all of the promises given to Israel are awaiting the final and full fulfillment during the millennial kingdom of the Messiah. It's not a bait and switch. God promised Israel a kingdom under the Messiah and that the world would be ruled from Jerusalem. And that's going to happen because God keeps his promises. So there is coming a kingdom. And that is when all of these promises will be fully and finally fulfilled. Fully and finally fulfilled. Say that 5 times fast. So we can be sure to that. So these last two verses of the chapter, think about this in light of that final fulfillment. So Israel dwells in security, the fountain of Jacob secluded in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens also drop down dew. So Israel, secure. The fountain of Jacob, also Israel, is the blessing. You know, the fountains will flow. Jacob is going to dwell securely in a land of grain and new wine. So it's going to be a prosperous land with bread and wine. The signs of prosperity. His heavens also drip down dew. This is referring to the rains from the sky to feed the crops. No drought. No, you know, bad weather. You know, the rains will water the crops, but that will be not a damaging rain, but a gentle watering kind of thing. It's referred to as dew, not, you know, torrential rain. So this is going to be a time of fertile agriculture, a land of grain and new wine. Food will be plentiful. The curse is not yet removed, because the curse is not removed until we get to the new heavens and the new earth. So the millennial kingdom takes place on this earth. The curse is still in effect, but it's greatly mitigated from what it is now. For one thing, Satan is bound. So there's a lessening of, you know, there's certainly no demonic temptations going on. until the end of the millennium. So we see here it's going to be a much more righteous society, but not perfect, because there are still people who rebel against God during this time. And we see that because there's constant references to the nations being punished for disobeying God during that time. Verse 29, "Blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by Yahweh." Yeah. What other nation was founded directly by the Creator of the universe? He, you know, chose Abraham and plucked him out of a life of idolatry and pagan worship, and then gave him a promise. And that promise became a nation. And that nation was given a land. And that nation was promised a king who is yet to ascend his throne. But who is like that? What other nation has God done this for? None. "Who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty?" It is God who is the shield of Israel, and it is God who is the sword of Israel. He protects them. He gives them victory. "So your enemies will cower before you, and you will tread upon their high places." So there's going to come a time when all of Israel's enemies will cower before them, knowing that they are helpless before Israel, because Israel's shield is God and Israel's sword is God. And there's no way they can attack them and defeat them, and there's no way they can resist their attack. And it says, "You will tread upon their high places." High places were the places of pagan worship. So Israel was going to see the defeat of their enemies, and their high places were going to be trampled underfoot by Israel. Now, again, partially fulfilled in the conquest, fully fulfilled in the millennium. So that's a time that is coming. All right. Sorry for my disorganization today and my stumbling and bumbling about, but that's the way it is. You're out of practice, gone a couple of days. I got a lot on my mind. I got stuff I got to do today. The joys of live podcasting. All right, let's now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Now the Collect for the fourth Sunday of Easter. "O God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen." The Collect for Grace. "O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Defend us by your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin nor run into any danger, and that guided by your Spirit we may do what is righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." And for the unrepentant we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for today. Good to be back with you. I've missed the last couple of days not being here. But again, I've got some traveling coming up, so we're going to be missing some more time in the very near future. But we'll be with you for the rest of the week. Should be with you all of next week. And then we will see what's happening after that. So have a great day. Remember, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. See you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.